Everyone, we're going to continue our study in the book of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. Go ahead and get your Bibles ready for Matthew 7. We'll be looking at verses 7 through 11. Last week we began chapter 7 looking at relationships. Jesus talking about our relationships. He's talking about our relationships with each other and with those that are not part of God's family, how we treat people, and we're going to look at that one verse next week, Matthew 7, verse 12, also known as the Golden Rule. So one verse for next Sunday, and we'll be thinking about that Golden Rule. But today we're looking at our prayer, our relationship to the Father, and throughout this section of God's Word, and then we move into other Gospels, Jesus is very quick and very clear to point people, to direct people to his heavenly Father, to talk about how he does things according to what God's directing him. His Father is asking him, is showing him to do. And so Jesus, it's not a surprise here that in this section of talking about judgment and how we judge people, how we look at people, he brackets this right here with this idea of going to God. We talked a lot about that last week, of how we should seek after God before we go to a brother or sister in Christ and help that person grow in his or her relationship with God. Today, I want us to think about prayer. Maybe you have come to that point where you're just done. You've been inside. You've been faithful to try to follow guidelines. You're trying to be cautious when you go shopping. There's just so many things that are part of our mindset right now. And we hear these things and we feel slightly rebellious. It's like, well, nobody can tell me that I should do these things. And we want to go an opposite way. It's no different when God asks us to do something. We have that, because of our fallen nature, tendency to want to go a different direction. And Jesus is reminding his disciples and anyone else that's listening, and us today, he's reminding us, his disciples now, that we need to be faithful and to keep pressing on, to listen and follow God's directives. He does that for a reason. He's asking us to be persistent in prayer. He's asking us to seek God in prayer. And so if there's a challenge today, it would be that we just keep doing that. It can seem like, what's the point? Why? God's not hearing. But we can be certain from these promises that when we pray according to God's will, he does hear. And even if we're not praying according to God's will, he's going to steer us back to that place, and he's going to be changing our hearts. He's going to be, as by his grace, giving us those new hearts, those redeemed hearts that want to pray according to God's direction. I want us to read this morning this really important section about our prayer life and about why we should be persistent, why we should keep pressing on, and what that means for us even today. So we read here from Matthew 7. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Jesus tells his disciples, ask. And it's a command, it's an imperative, and it's in the present tense. And the sense is, ask and keep on asking. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. You see, Jesus is repeating this idea of persistence in prayer. He's saying everyone who asks receives, every one of his followers, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And then Jesus gives these examples. It's just like a great preacher to know that his audience maybe is getting weary. He's given a lot. And so he's starting to give a lot of stories here at the end of the sermon. And Jesus is saying, or just think about this. Verse 9. What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. And here's an important part here. This is the comparison. This is going from the lesser to the greater. This is an argument that Jesus uses often. He's already used it within this very sermon. How much more? If we can see this in our own lives and those around us, if we could give good gifts, then how much more, Jesus says, will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? That's a great, great passage of prayer. And many of our translations, many of our Bibles go on to that verse 12, but I've held that back for next Sunday. It's connected. It's not standalone, and we see that there's a therefore, and we're going to unpack all of that next week as we gather and as we worship together. But I want us to be able to consider what it means that God, our Father, gives us much more than we ask. He's able to do much more than we could ever think. He is a good Father. Let's pray. And so, Father, we do come before you even right now, thankful for the breath that you've given us. Thank you for the strength that you give us. Thank you for the encouragement that you give to our weary souls. We thank you for all of your good promises. God, you are so good to us. We thank you that we know that by your incredible grace. And we ask that during these moments that we are able to study your word, that you would reinforce the very importance of our conversation with you and how we do need to be persistent in our prayers. Lord God, by your grace, would you please help us be able to press on? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We do want to give up. We want to quit. I was reminded early on with this beginning of our quarantine time, a line from C.S. Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And when Lucy, the character Lucy, meets Mr. Tumnus for the first time as she's stepped through the wardrobe into Narnia, Mr. Tumnus says this about wintertime. He says, "It's always winter and never Christmas." Think about that. And it really is a time where it feels like it's springtime, perhaps, but never Easter. We have lost, in some way, a sense of hopefulness. And my prayer is that as we go through this Sermon on the Mount, and I believe that Jesus would want us to know this, that we do have hope. And we can look not just at our circumstances, but we can look beyond our circumstances and look to our Heavenly Father. And that's where I want to spend most of our time this morning. Before we do these last few verses, though, and look at how great our Father is, I want us to think about these two things here that will help, I think, move us along in this section. And really, this outline could be a template for many parts of God's Word. And it's simply this, these two principles that I think Jesus is showing us here in this section. The first is that we have a great need for God. He's pointing that out. We have a great need for God. And the second principle that we see here is that we have a great God who meets our needs. And I want us to think about those two things, primarily thinking about our great God. And so that's where I'll spend most of the time here in the next little bit. But before we get to that, I want us to go back and look at these verses that show how we do have a great need for God. Jesus wants his disciples, he wants anyone that's listening to see that they have a great need for the Father. Perhaps they're feeling the weight of Jesus' words. They're asking themselves, they're seeing this righteousness that he's talking about, the righteous demands, and it goes deeper than they could have previously thought. And perhaps they're rolling these words through their minds. Seek God's kingdom. Seek God's righteousness. Store up treasure in heaven. Shine out your good works to the glory of God. Love your enemies. And they think, how can we keep these commands? Where do we turn? So Jesus, once more, is, as a great teacher, directing them to the Father. He's urging them to persist in prayer with the Father. He wants them to see their great need for the Father. three quick things here. First, Jesus is showing them their great need by pointing out, first of all, that we all are slack in prayer. Though commanded to pray often throughout here, and though we're commanded to pray, we don't. And though we're reminded to pray often, we don't. And though Jesus is showing here us the intense prayer that God should be a top priority in our lives, we often neglect this vital connection with Him. We delay, we forget, we fail to pray. So Jesus says, pray and pray and pray. And throughout this sermon, He's emphasized that. And even here, He's got this triad. Ask, seek, knock. Perhaps it's as some Bible scholars indicate that it's an intensification of this request. So ask is a mild request. The seeking is a diligent search. And the knocking is an urgent plea. Maybe that's some of the meaning behind this emphasis here, but what is more likely happening is that Jesus is simply reinforcing the idea that we need to keep praying no matter what. Pray, 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 but we know that we don't. We're slack in prayer, so we need God to help us to pray. The second thing is that we are slow to trust. Jesus tells us that the Father knows what we need before we even ask. He tells us that the Father cares for us. We see that as we back up into chapter 6 of this section of Matthew. Jesus tells us to give our steadfast devotion to the Father and to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Yet, we worry. We don't trust Him fully. We don't seek Him first and foremost. And as Jesus points out here, thirdly, we are sinners at heart. Did you notice those words? He says, if you then being evil. He didn't say you do evil. He says you are evil. That's who we are at the core before God's grace intervenes and changes us. If we're in Christ, then we are new creations. He's giving us a new heart. But our fallen nature is that we're all evil people and we need God. It's so clear here in this section that Jesus is reminding us of our great need for the Father. This is who we are before God's grace. And even as we turn to God, there are moments when we turn away. We are, from the fall in the garden until now, we are those who defame and deny God. We each turn our own way. We do what's right in our own eyes. We have a great need. And so here Jesus confronted His disciples throughout this sermon. And here in this section especially, their need for God to come to Him. As Martin Lloyd-Jones has written, we are all crushed to the ground and made to realize our utter helplessness and our desperate need for grace. Here is the answer. The supply is available. That's great news. And here, as Lloyd-Jones says, the Lord repeats it for the sake of emphasis. Ask, seek, knock, persist in prayer. Church, we have a great need for God. Whether we're new Christians or whether we've known and followed Jesus for years, we have a great need for God. We never outgrow that. We have a great need for His grace. And on our own, we won't seek God's kingdom. That's why we need His guidance. We need God's mercy and forgiveness. We need His love. So let's do this. Let's ask and seek and knock. Let's persist in our prayers to God. We have a great need, but we also, as I've mentioned early on here in this message today, we have a great God who meets our needs, and that's where I want us to camp out for the next little bit. We have a great God who meets our needs. Jesus wants His disciples, He wants us to see our great Father. So next, Jesus is asking these two similar questions. He's reinforcing this idea. He's driving it home. He's just making this argument from the lesser to the greater. And He asks this first. What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Now, most of us would say, there's no man, no dad who would give a stone to his child. That's just being mean. That's a trickster. Maybe if you're outside of the mealtime, but if your child asks for bread, you're not going to put a stone on the table and say, there it is. It's like a, it's like I was imagining the Food Network competitions. You wouldn't have a competitor say, well, today, judges, what I prepared for you is a plastic plate full of Play-Doh, and it looks kind of like food, but you know, you can tell it's really not food. That's not giving your best. That's not giving what you can to someone that you want to please. And so we know, parents, we want to please our children. We want the best for them. We'll do almost anything to give them the very best. Clothes, food, well-being, protection, guidance, nurture, care, prayerfulness. We'll give our children those things. And Jesus asked this next question, or if you give a fish, you won't give him a snake, will he? The obvious answer is no. A dad won't be tricky or mean like that. He just isn't going to do it. And these questions then lead to this vital statement, this vital principle that Jesus builds upon here. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Jesus wants his disciples to see their great Father. How much more is a guiding phrase here. Jesus is leading his disciples and anyone else that's listening to consider that if they who are evil can give good gifts to their children, then think how much more your heavenly Father will give when you ask him. In simple, powerful fashion, Jesus leads his disciples to see the greatness of God. And he does it in at least three ways that I want to think about here in these moments. First, Jesus urges them to see that their heavenly Father is wise. Jesus tells them that the Father keeps his promises. Listen again to Jesus' words to us. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. God never speaks and then fails to act. Let me say that again. God never speaks and then fails to act. We know that we don't always keep our promises, but God does. He's like that. He's wise in that way. He knows what you need. He knows both the beginning and the end. He knows what's best. He knows what's best for you. And if an earthly dad knows what's best for his son, then how much more does your heavenly Father know what is best for his sons and daughters? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. That's Romans 11:33. Truly, truly, our heavenly Father is infinitely wise. He knows how to give good gifts to those who ask him. Now, it's here that I'm really glad that I have notes, because I'm so excited, and I know that I would jump ahead, and things are starting to get muddled in my brain, and praise God that his brain never gets muddled. He sees, like I said, the beginning from the end. He knows everything in between. He knows our lives. He knows what's going to happen this very moment. He knows me. He knows you. He's wise beyond what we can fathom. He keeps his promises. And that leads me to the second thing here, that Jesus wants us to see that our Heavenly Father is, get this, our Heavenly Father is faithful. Jesus tells them that the Father keeps his promises. Hear again these words. Well, I did jump ahead. I got muddled. I'm repeating myself here. I thought I'd skip down a little bit. Let me jump in here and try to find out where I am. I was going back and forth between my points. I need my pencil to mark where I need to go next. All right. This is exciting stuff, and I want us to hear what God's saying to us this morning through his word, that God is faithful, he's wise. and he keeps his promises. God's word is sure. That's where I started. I was skipping back and forth between wise and faithful, and they are interconnected. So the idea here is that what we're thinking, what we're asking, doesn't mean that we have a blank check. And that's where I want us to think about here with this promise that Jesus is giving and telling that our Father will keep to us. Does this mean that when we ask for something, that God is giving us a blank check? That God is giving us what we want and what we desire, what's on our list? Listen, he knows what is best for us, but he's urging us to pray what's on his list, not ours. And what do we pray? Let's go back to Matthew 6. Pray, then, in this way. This is what's on God's list, on the Father's list. Pray, then, in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Truly, truly, our Heavenly Father is faithful. He knows how to give good gifts to those who ask him. So Jesus is framing this idea of prayer within the section that's talking about how we judge each other, but also what we need to be seeking after. Seek first the kingdom. Those should be our prayers. Father, help me to seek after your kingdom. Help me to store up treasure in heaven by your Holy Spirit. Help me to seek out the things that would please you and not necessarily what's always going to be a selfish motive. Help me to ask for the things that are in line with your will. Father, may your name be honored in this earth. May people bow down in awe, of reverent awe before you, Almighty God. Do you see how that starts to change our prayers? It's not always about us. It's not always saying, God, help me, but God, help our nation, help my family. God, would your will be done here? God, help me to know you. I want to know you. I want to serve you. God, be glorified in my world, in this place, in this city. It's a transformation, and it's a bedrock prayer that comes from knowing that we're praying to a wise and faithful Father. I love my dad, and I was talking with Mom here a few weeks ago, and she said that she had listened to one of the sermons previously about just a brief recording, and how I'd said, oh, I wish that I could hear my father's voice one more time. And she said, I think somewhere tucked away in some of your dad's belongings, I have a recording of his voice from years and years ago. And wouldn't that be amazing if she could find that and maybe put it on a phonograph, have it transferred digitally so that I could hear my earthly father's voice just that one more time. Listen to what he had on his mind that day when he made that recording. But you know what? We can hear our Heavenly Father's voice often throughout the day when we come to his word, when we spend time in his word, when we pray his word, when we remember his word. He's wise and he's faithful. And the last thing I want us to think about is in this section that Jesus very obviously points out, and that is that our Heavenly Father is good. He gives good gifts. Our Heavenly Father gives what is good. Much more. How much more than we realize? Every good thing, as James writes, every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Our Heavenly Father gives good gifts because that's who he is. He's good. He is forever holy. He always does what is right. He is not evil. He is always good. How does he show his goodness? How does he give good gifts? Here are at least seven gifts that we see in God's word about how our Father gives good gifts. Number one, he gives life and breath to all people everywhere. That's from Acts 17:25. Number two, he causes the sun to rise and the rain to fall on all people. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Number three, he gives food and enjoyment of hard work to all people. That's from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Number four, he clearly shows his attributes and power and nature to all people. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Number five, he is rich in his kindness to all people. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Number six, he shows patience, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. And number seven, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Our Father is good. Our Father is good, and we can trust him. Our Heavenly Father gives what is good. How much more than we deserve? Truly, truly, our Heavenly Father knows how to give, and he does give good gifts to those who ask him. So ask, ask, ask. Say, Father, I need you to work. Father, please work. Help me to know what it is that you want me to do. Help me to live for your glory. Help me to live out these kingdom principles, because apart from you, I know I can't. I've tried and I keep stumbling. I don't want it to be simply a list that I check off. I want it to be this relationship that I'm growing, that I'm learning, that I'm walking with you, that there's joyfulness, that it's a real relationship. We're talking. Father, I need you. In this time of uncertainty, I love the certain things that our Father provides, changes of seasons. Even the day-to-day, the sunrise, the lengthening of the days, the sunset, the flowers that are starting to blossom and bloom so beautifully, the trees that are almost filled with leaves now throughout our neighborhoods, the reminders of God's handiwork all around, those constants that we have grown accustomed to and sometimes can forget even to say, God, thank you for another day. Thank you for this breath in my lungs. Thank you, Father, for an opportunity to serve, to preach, to work, to minister. Thank you for how you provided. Father, thank you. And continual praise pouring from our lips to our God. I'm grateful for constants like the moon. I'm so, so grateful that one of our granddaughters is able to spend time with us because of the fact that we share a home together, our youngest son and our wonderful daughter-in-law and our granddaughter. She's so quick to point out and look up in the sky and say, the moon. She sees it. Even when I don't catch a glimpse, she sees it. She points up. She says, the moon. Isn't it great that we have constant reminders of God's faithfulness, his wisdom, and his goodness? And they're all around us. And Jesus is telling his disciples, look, look, look. Do you see him? Talk to him. Listen to him. Spend time with him. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Don't give up. Persist. I think that's one reason why we're so fond of certain Bible passages that are a reminder of God's constancy, his care, his compassion, his closeness, his tenderness toward his children. One of those is in the Psalms. And I'm going to have to look it up because I don't have it marked right now. So let's go there together. It's Psalm 23. You know this psalm. Psalm 23, and it's a personal psalm. It's a psalm of theology. It's a psalm of theology turned to prayer. It's a wonderful psalm. It's a simple psalm. It's one that we learn perhaps when we're younger, and we can call out to God. We can repeat it. We can pray it. We can remind ourselves of God's care, of his constancy, of his goodness. This is it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Maybe today you're just frantic and you need to take that promise and say, God, I want to trust you even right now. I want to slow down my mind, my thoughts. I want to let you help me rest in your mighty work that's all around, that I know for certain through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help me lie down. He makes me lie down in green pastures. They're not barren. They're lush. That's what I enjoy about going on a walk through the neighborhood. And I've mentioned this on previous occasions, to see the greenery that's around the different springs, the Donner Springs of our neighborhood, these springs that bubble up from this desert land, and around those springs, lush greenness, life. And God's leading us beside still waters. Oh, how he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then this wonderful promise, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I fear no evil. Why? And here's where it turns to a prayer. For you, he's talking to God now, for you are with me. God, you're with me. Your rod and your staff, you're such a good shepherd. You are comforting me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. God, you've given me so much. Thank you. And this thought, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. This week, hold on to the Word of God. Hold on to prayer promises like this. Hold on to scripture passages like this, Psalm 23. I would also direct our attention to 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter about love and the work. And you could insert the name Jesus in every one of those that talks about love. You could insert the name the Father. The Father loves. The Father is this. Our awesome God is like this because he is love. He's so good. Do you know him this day? Will you trust him this day? How much more could we see all around us? So much more. May God open our hearts and our eyes to see the wonder of God's handiwork in his word and in his creation, in our families. May we give him the praise. Church, let's keep seeking. Let's keep knocking. Let's keep asking. Why? We have a great need. We know that. We have a great need. But here's the really great news. We have a great God who meets those needs. Let's pour out our hearts. Let's press on to know him. Let's keep asking and seeking and knocking for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you never stumble. You never stumble over your words. You never stumble over an outline. You never stumble over trying to communicate. You have done that so perfectly well. Your work rings out in the heavens. We see it in the stars, in the moon. We see it in the sunrise every morning and the sunset every night. We see it in the wonderful wildflowers and tulips that are blooming right now. We see it, God, and feel it in the warm sunshine upon our necks and faces as we walk, as we're out, as we do yard work, as we just get outside for a little bit. God, we see your provision as you give us what we need. God, we see it in the privilege of being able to come before you even right now in prayer. We thank you that you have provided that way for us to come boldly before you. by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that this day that we would be persistent, that we would be persistent throughout this week in our prayers, that you would remind us often of our need. It doesn't have to be a long prayer, God. We know that, and we thank you for that. But we also know that we need to be disciplined in moments to keep talking with you and listening. May we be faithful for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.